Blake, good morning. Just wanted to speak to you for a few moments and help prepare our minds to worship our Lord this morning. If you would like to follow along, we'll be starting in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. A little unorthodox, I'd like to start this lesson with an invitation. I just want everyone here to know that the importance of your soul is far above and beyond any structure of service or anything we're doing this morning. And if you have a need of anything whatsoever, whether it's the prayers of the congregation, you need strength, you need us to be behind you, I welcome you to come forward at any point this morning. It doesn't have to be at the end of the 10:30 service. Same goes for those of you who are considering becoming a member of the Lord's Church. Those who realize you need to be baptized into Christ, put on Christ, and become a Christian so that you may have hope and eternity with Him someday in heaven. That invitation stands always. Let's start in Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. We'll read down to verse 54. It says, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then the two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you were the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests, also mocking with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now that he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, This man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth was quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and the many bodies of spirits who were fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. It is overwhelming to me how undeserving we are as a human race of the sacrifice that Jesus made on that day. How incredibly just worthless I feel sometimes. But whenever it comes to considering this sacrifice, considering the things that the Lord has done for me, it's just awe-inspiring. The people of his generation mocked him people of our generation certainly mock him. They mock his word. They mock Christianity as a whole. Not even the people whom Jesus saved in the moment there, who witnessed his miracles, who were a part of his miracles, gave all the glory to God all the time. In Luke chapter 17, we're given the account of the cleansing of the 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11, it says, "Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourself to the priests.' And so it was that when they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, 'Glorified God,' and fell down on his face and his feet, at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Even people who received blessings, immediate miracles from Jesus, failed to give glory to God. And it just makes me think about, makes me ponder how easy it is for those of us who have never seen Jesus, will never physically see Jesus, physically see those miracles, how easy it is for us to forget to give glory to God always, through all things and in all things. But despite this, we're still given the hope of an eternity with God in heaven. Ephesians chapter 3, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read verses 4 through 10. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we walk in them," that we should walk in them. We have a responsibility as Christians. We have a responsibility, I feel, as human beings. But we have a responsibility as Christians to give glory to God in all things, in all ways, in all situations. In Psalm 62, let's turn to Psalm 62. We see a fantastic example of this. Psalm 62. Verses 5 through 8. "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." I'd like to conclude our readings with the recognition that everything we have, absolutely everything, comes from God. And everything we do should be for God. In our junior high Bible class last week, I told myself I wouldn't go off on any tangents. In our junior high Bible class last week, we were talking about doing things for God and giving glory to God, and how when your parents are giving you instruction, though they may not be sitting down with the Bible with you saying, "Look, here's what the Bible says, do this," the instruction that they're giving you, if they have a foundation in Christ, is coming from God. And I said, there's nothing your parents are going to tell you to do that doesn't come from God. And they're like, what about eating your vegetables? And I said, you know, we're supposed to take care of our temples. We're supposed to make sure that we have the things we need so that we can live the best way for Christ. And so, yes, eating your vegetables is essential for your health. And therefore, it comes from God. You know, and it's just something that I know I often forget to recognize in my life. It's just how important every tiny little thing is to me. Whether it's my associations with my fellow Christians, or just the air I breathe, or the sun shining on my face, or anything I have, the blessings I have to not be afraid to get up in front of people and talk, or sing, or do things like that, it all comes from God. Everything comes from God, and we have a responsibility to recognize those blessings. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We are so incredibly blessed, not just in this country, in this world, in everything we have. We need to cast our cares upon God. We need to humble ourselves in his presence. And we need to make sure that we recognize that everything comes from him. I'd like to conclude this morning by singing number 107 in the supplement. Number 107, I hope that we have adequately prepared our minds for the worship of our God, that we can move forward and go throughout this morning really taking into consideration those things that he's given to us. Let's see. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
Let us bow.